Our guest speaker this morning has come back from a nation, the nation of Brazil, I believe, and I don't feel say anything about that, but we love the nations. I think the Brazilian flag is flying up there, one of the nations that we've been to. But I wanted to mention that today is Isaac Gimba's birthday. So Isaac Gimba has turned 60. They're celebrating their 35th wedding anniversary, and they've been 7 years with Meeting Point Ministries, so they've invited their friends to a party, and that's going to happen this afternoon. And their friends have come to the city from all over. I believe that there's even an apostle from Nigeria flying in. They've come from the nations and from all over, and we are blessed to have been approached by Isaac, and Isaac asked if we would have one of his friends here this morning, and his name is Randy Nielsen. And when Isaac mentioned it to me, on a couple of levels, my heart just said yes, you know, on a couple of levels. One is because we have been walking in such trust in the city, in relationship, and God is building. You know, unity moves at the speed of relationship. That's how unity works. And so when Isaac asked me, the yes just rose in my heart. But also, the fact that he is sprinkling his friends into the city at such a time as this is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful picture of unity, not keeping our friends to ourselves, but sharing them with the city. So, Randy, come up and tell us about yourself. Just extend your hands to him. We're going to pray and give thanks. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you're visiting this city with your goodness, Lord. Your goodness is abounding, Lord, over the city of Ottawa. Even in these moments and in these hours, Lord, there's just something very precious that you're doing. And so we welcome this brother, Lord. We welcome him in the name of the Lord. And we just say, Lord, whatever you have for us, Lord, we've got hearts that want to receive this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Father, Son, hallelujah.
Pastor Chuck, we appreciate you. Are you glad you're here today? Praise, I'm glad you're here as well. Be lonely without you. No, it's okay. I won't use it now. Thank you. You mentioned lots of my friends. Mark Breezebaugh is one of my friends as well. The first church I pastored after coming out of Bible school, Mark was a young man in the church. So it's interesting how God kind of pulls things together, brings our hearts, joins our hearts together. But it's an honor to be with you today. See, the flags of the nations is exceptional. God loves the nations. Is that true? He loves all peoples. It's so interesting how God works in our lives. I'm going to share a little bit of my life as we go through the message this morning. But God loves all people. We need to remember that. And so I remember just last year, Ramadan was just finishing. You know who celebrates Ramadan, right? And so I got up on a Sunday morning, and I'd been invited to Ramadan, to the iftar at the end of Ramadan in our city. I live in Brampton, Ontario, just down the road from you. And guess what? The imam, I know a number of the imams, and they invite me sometimes to do things. It's unusual. And so what I did is, on a Sunday morning, is I prayed for all the people that had been celebrating Ramadan around the world. Because what are they doing? They are spending time a month fasting and seeking a God that they don't know personally, but God knows each one of them personally. And as they are spending time fasting, which most of us don't do, guess what? God is listening. And so in that Sunday morning, I prayed for them that the reality of the living God would come to them, that Jesus himself would reveal himself to them. And I can give you story after story that my friends in faraway nations have told me about, where angels appeared to these Muslim folks and demonstrated who Jesus was. Anyway, I have too many stories. I want to stay with the Word of God. But then later that day, I was supposed to be there around 3:30, and I went for lunch with my wife, and she wasn't excited about coming. And anyway, I went down, and right in the city of Brampton, there's a big park, and there's about 3,000 Muslim folks gathered there. And I came in late, and the mayor was just finishing his comments, and so I ran up on stage and gave him a hug, because we know one another as well. And then started to talk to the folks on the stage that were in the crowd, the Muslim friends. And just to be able to reveal to them that people love them, and that a God loves them, and that God has chosen every human being to serve him. We're all created in the image of God. Doesn't matter what label we put on ourselves, doesn't matter what color of skin or the nation we come from. We're all called by God to serve him, created in his own image. and that they'd been praying for to surrender themselves to God's will is what it's all about, and to stay in the center of God's will. And so I shared with them a little bit of my understanding what God's will was for them, that they would understand and have a relationship with a living God who actually died for him. And I said, is it all right if I pray for you? They all clapped and said yes, and so I did. And prayed for them and prayed that the living God would show himself to them, reveal the Son of God who died for them, and bring them into the reality that maybe they'd never experienced before. And guess what? They all started clapping and cheering. Why is this significant? Because sometimes we put labels on people, we want to fight against them. But God is not fighting against people. And we're not to fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the heavenly places. And so we stand in authority. And so we've been singing today, and it's brought the peace of God, the calm of God in this room, which is wonderful. We enjoy that. But we're not only called to be people that bask in the glory of God and receive his peace for our life. We're here as ambassadors to carry that peace out into the world around us and make a difference in all nations with all people. So when I was in Sri Lanka and going down a little into the jungle, and then the driver, I don't believe he was a Christian. I believe he needed to be. We're praying for him as the road got narrower and narrower and narrower through the jungle, and eventually we got where we were going and got to stay in the hotel from hell and be able to share the love of God with the folks in a tea estate in that place. But God has a plan for our lives, my friend. He has a plan for your life. And it doesn't matter whether we have gray hair, white hair, no hair. It doesn't matter what color. Doesn't matter how rich or poor we are. God's plan for us is still active. I want to remind you that. It's not where you started many years ago. It's where you are now and what you're going to do now. Is that true? And so God is speaking. I believe he's speaking to us today. And I want you to go in your Bible. Find it, turn it on, open it up. We're going to go to John chapter 15, one of my favorite portions of the Bible, and I don't have notes with me today. They're just on the inside. I grew up in Edmonton, Alberta, where it's cold in the winter. It's not like here warm. We would have minus 40, minus 45, minus 50 sometimes every winter. Rode my motorcycle all winter one year. I was not wise, almost froze to death. I was raised in a nice home with nice parents. My mom died when I was 16, didn't know any Christians other than one aunt that was praying for me, and she lived in Brampton, Ontario, never saw her very much at all. So I grew up in a nice place, but without God. Only time I went to church was a couple times because I was a Cub Scout, and I got points if I did, and then I went to one funeral, and that was it. All the way through growing up until finishing high school, and out of high school, God had a plan for me that was different than what I thought. I wanted to be a rocket scientist. That was popular back in the 60s. But instead, I went into the Canadian military and went right into officer training, right out of high school. And in that environment, I learned how to drink. I learned how to smoke. I learned how to have a wonderful vocabulary of four-letter words. I understood. I learned I could do things that I never thought I could do. I would skip gym every time I could in school because I hated running, hated the exercise. Come on, you look so holy, but there's some of you that would say yes and amen to that. But when I got in the military, they didn't ask me if I wanted to get up at 6 in the morning or be outside in the parade square at 6 in the morning. They just said, you're going to be out there. You're going to be shorts and running shoes and a t-shirt. It doesn't matter if you can see your breath or not. There's no sweats. No, you're going to run. And you're going to run for about a mile and a half as fast as you can, and it's going to be through the bushes and up the hill and down the other side and on the dockyard and all of that. Doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's not about do you want to. It's yes, sir, and on. If he tells you to jump on the way up, you ask how high. Is that right? And so that was my beginnings outside of the high school, so the shock of my life. But I discovered something. Within a month, I was there with Grenzowski from Ottawa, and we were racing, jogging, sprinting to the end of that mile and a half, and he was 6'2", and I was less than that. His legs were about 6 inches longer than mine, and so he could run. That was his skill set. It wasn't mine, but guess what? I discovered, even though I didn't know God, God knew me, and that I could do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I didn't know him, but he knew me. And then I decided to, well, I didn't decide. The military decided to move me all the way from Western Canada to Eastern Canada, where I went to Prince Edward Island. How many have been to PEI? Isn't it beautiful there? And that's where I went, straight to Summerside. And I was supposed to go on jets and fly in the back seat of Voodoo aircraft, which was exciting for a young man, but instead they sent me to bounce over the North Atlantic in an antique aircraft called an Argus and search for submarines. So it wasn't fun, but God had a plan for me, and I want you to know that he has a plan for every one of us, and if we'll just listen to him and respond appropriately, he'll help us get in the very center of that plan, regardless of where we are in life. And God's plan is not static for us. It's dynamic depending on how we respond, dynamic on the scenario, the situations around us, our obedience to him, and the need that is present in the area where God has placed us. So I came all the way from Western Canada to Eastern, and I stopped in Toronto, and I thought it's going to be great to buy a car in Toronto from a used car dealer. You could tell how naive I was. So I stopped in Brampton because that's where my aunt was, stayed with her for 8 days. And in that time, I found a car that looked good on the outside. It wasn't good on the inside. It made it about an hour down the road before it blew the exhaust system off. Anyway, I don't want to go into that story. But in that 8 days, I was bored. And so my aunt took me over to visit her co-worker of hers daughter, whose name was Jill. And I fell in love with Jill, and somehow Jill fell in love with me. And she'd been born again since she was 4 years of age, filled with the Holy Ghost at 6 years of age. So she was experienced being a 17-year-old at that time. Loved Jesus, spent more time at the church than she did any place else. Love the Lord, but somehow she fell in love with me and I fell in love with her. And she started to tell me about Jesus, but I was too smart. She explained how you can't understand God. It's like electricity. Well, I told her how electricity worked. I just finished 3 electronic courses. I knew all about that. So she just started praying for me, and God spoke to me and chose me and brought me into the center of his will. And before we got married, guess what? God saved my life. And that was this July. We'll be married 57 years. So God is good. Amen? And you can stay in the center of God's will. You can. And that's what I discovered. And so anyway, lots of things happened since then. But let's go to the Bible. Did you find where the book of John is? Matthew, Mark, Luke? Okay, good. 15, I'll just read a couple verses. I am the true vine. Who is speaking? It's red letters, right? Jesus is speaking. And my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what happens? What does he do? He cuts it away. So wait now. I am the vine. And I'm the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So who are the branches? We are, is that right? Yeah, our lives are the branches tied into Jesus. We get our nourishment from him. But I really felt strongly, and I'm going to go down further, but I felt strongly on this. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, what does he do for it? He prunes it. Have you ever had a tree that you pruned? Or maybe a flower, a rose bush, or something that you pruned? Why do you prune the rose bush? So that you can get better roses off the rose bush. Let me take it back a bit. How about tomatoes? Anybody grown tomatoes? So when you put a tomato plant in the ground or seeds that get to that plant, you get all kinds of suckers coming out there, right? And what do you do if you want better, bigger, nicer tomatoes off that plant? You pinch off those, what are they called? Suckers, yeah. So there's lots of suckers here. So as we look at this, we consider, sorry, we consider that if we're the branches and we're bearing fruit, and well, let's go back to what is the fruit? What is the fruit of a Christian life? Love, joy, peace. Where is that found? in the Bible. Come on, you can be a little more specific than that today. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23. Okay, so we understand. We got the love, joy, peace. How about long-suffering? Is that one of those fruit as well? Do you love to suffer long? That's not one we love. We love the last one. I know here. It's self-control. Is that the one you love the most? I don't see any hands up. Okay, so we understand the fruit. So God has, this is the miraculous thing that I did not understand. Before I gave my heart to Jesus and really allowed him to come into my life, before I was born again, I thought God was a great intelligence out there. I never thought of him as an individual, as a person that could love me. That was what I discovered when I met Jill and she started to share that with me. And then I saw some of her friends and kind of got pulled into the world of the reality of who God is. But I thought it was all about, I was into the sciences, math and sciences. So everything made sense and it was organized and all the rest. So it must be intelligent, but is it a real God? So then I discovered him. And what I didn't understand, because I tried reading the Bible. How many tried to read the Bible before you gave your life to Jesus? Did it make sense? No, not me neither. The church I went to, you knelt down and you stood up and you knelt down and you stood up. You got a little exercise, but that's about all you got out of the time on a Sunday morning. And as I read the Bible, it did not make any sense to me whatsoever. But after I prayed a simple prayer and asked Jesus to lead my life, fill my life, allow me to become part of his life and his plan, then that supernatural transaction took place where the Holy Spirit of God himself came and lived on the inside of me. And now when I read the Bible, now it leapt off the page and attacked me. Have you had that experience? Instead of going to the book of Genesis or all the way through to Revelations, I started at John and I read the book of John and I discovered that Jesus was a real guy, that in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And down a few verses, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So I discovered the reality of who Jesus was and is. And it changed my life. And my life started to demonstrate a different reality than what I'd experienced before. So when I was reading this morning, I'm the true vine and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me. Are you in him this morning? If you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, doesn't matter how long ago it was, we're in him. And it doesn't matter how good we are, how holy we look, doesn't matter how much we give or all the good deeds we do, if we've not asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life as an intentional action at a point in time, we're not in him. My children, I have three boys, had to ask Jesus to be Lord of their life, even though they were born in a home that proclaim Jesus to be Lord of all. So because of that, we come in here and it talks about fruit. And we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And so I sense that in here, Pastor. I believe that's a characteristic of this church, that the fruit of the Spirit is in operation in your lives. I trust it's in operation in your homes. Keep smiling, keep looking straight ahead. But I sense there are some that in your homes, it's different than a Sunday morning. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Don't elbow the one next to you. We're listening to the Lord because it is he who wants to prune so that you may have more fruit, much fruit. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. Amen. Does the Word of God help us to bear fruit? Yeah. We go down to verse number 7. Let me see what number 7 says. If you abide in me, that word abide is not Sunday morning abiding. It's more an eternal thing. It's a perpetual relationship with God. So it's Monday morning and Tuesday morning and all of the other mornings that go along with it. It's being able to in him we live and move and have our being. It's where we have that constant communion relationship with God. And sometimes we don't put all our focus on that because we're focused on other things. But guess what? If we abide in him, what does it say after that? And my words abide in you. So God's word, the Bible, is to live inside of us perpetually, just like we live in him perpetually. Is that true? So how do we do that? How do you do that? Do you read the Bible? Did you? I won't ask you to show your hands today. It's early on a Sunday morning, and I know you've been getting all, you look so nice. You've been all sweeting yourself up to be here this morning. But do we actually read the Bible? Do we internalize it? Do we declare the Bible as words over our life? Do we speak them boldly over our community? Do we stand strong with God's word and say yes and amen? It shall be even as you have declared it to be, Father. We will not back down. Whatever you have said, it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. And we boldly take God's word and apply it to the situations of our life, not just our Sunday mornings. I know you do, so I'll just move on. But there's a response there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Elbow your neighbor, tell him it shall be done for you. Yeah, wake them up. Thank you. God's word is real. It's for us today. Let's go to verse 15. And this is where I want to land today. This verse has been a foundational verse for my life, because I did not go looking for God. He came looking for me, and he knew where I was, but he needed to get me in a place where I could actually respond to him. And that's what he did. So what does it say there in John chapter 15, 16? It says, you did not choose me. Who wrote? Is it in red in your Bible there? All kinds of different colors in your Bible. Praise God. I think I'll go over this side. Yeah. Yeah, I had a Bible like that once as well. I used my first Bible. First Bible I got, not knowing anything about Jesus, I started to read, as I said, in the book of John. And for some reason, I got a highlighter and I started highlighting whatever was speaking to me. And as a brand new believer, as a lieutenant in the Canadian Air Force, RCF, in that environment, I started underlining what was important. What God said to me, I underlined, I circled it, I wrote in it, I wrote notes in there as well. And for some crazy reason, even though I'd been born again for only months, I would put a big asterisk, Pastor, beside verses that really jumped out to me, and a P beside it. And that P was for somebody needs to preach this. Little did I know that someone turned out to be me. So my friends, when you read the Bible, mess it up, man. You write it. If you've used electronic, then you can still highlight, you can still annotate, all of those things you can still do. Don't just let the Bible be something you blow the dust off before you bring it on Sunday, or you open it up when there's a specific need, but let the Word of God dwell in you richly. So again, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. That's what he wants you to know that today. So Jesus has specifically chosen each one of you. I'd run back there to the back but I'll get lost in the cameras and things like that. But understand, it's not just the choosing that he did many years ago when you gave your life to him. But I sense he's choosing you today for today's destiny and tomorrow's destiny for your life. Not just for the past, but for the future. If you're still alive, we're still alive, or we wouldn't be here. Because we're still breathing, God has a plan for us, and he has a plan for you. Some of you, I noticed there's many here with gray hair. And I didn't start off this way, but this is the way it's ended up so far. I'm only 76 years of age. I'm full of energy, full of strength. I run the church. Our church back home is it's doing well. We're launching out. I've been to 60 nations around the world. Just got back from Brazil, putting my papers in to go to India next month. Back there, I've been there, I don't know, 20 times or so. And so guess what? If you're breathing, God has a plan for you. And that plan is not to sit on your blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and do nothing but wait until you pass from this life. So I want to mobilize you today. I want to mobilize all of us, myself included, to hear the voice of God. So let's go back to this verse of number 16. I want it down inside of you. I want you to be able to declare it over your life. I want you to be able to declare it over your children, your grandchildren, if that's the case. I've got great grandchildren as well that I declare this over. So, Father, let's say it together. I'm using the New King James, verse number 16 of 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Say it with me now. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. How many believe the word of God is true? This is for you. I believe he's chosen you today. I believe he's here to open up, widen your eyes so that you can see, you can experience, you can understand what the next step God has for you. It doesn't have to be way down the road. It can be tomorrow. It can be today, later today. Maybe God has an appointment for you today. When I was flying down to Brazil just a week and a half ago, across the aisle was this woman that I started chatting with. She was young. She's only 32 years of age. She says, "Is this your first time to Brazil?" I said, "No, I've been here a few times. How about you?" "No, I was born here." "Oh, what are you coming from?" "Well, my mom is ill." And she started to cry. And I said, "Guess what? God loves you and God loves your mom. You're going to the same city I'm going to. What's your mom's name?" She told me her mom's name. I said, "I'm going to pray for her. If you let me know where she is, I'm going to be at a church and perhaps that pastor would come with me and we could just pray for your mom." And she started crying even more and said, "No, my mom's a Jehovah's Witness. She won't let you in." I said, "Well, guess what? God loves everyone and he loves your mom. And so we're going to pray that he reveals himself to her." I prayed with her. "Jesus, reveal yourself to that mom. Let your healing power be demonstrated to her. Let her be like that man I met in Ethiopia that was on his deathbed. He was a Muslim leader. In fact, he'd been recruiting for jihad, going from mosque to mosque. And he got terribly ill. They tried everything. They prayed for him. They did everything, got all the doctors. Nothing would help him. He was dying, laying in the hospital without any hope whatsoever. And then in his room in the middle of the night came a man radiating bright light. And that man spoke to him and said, "You will not die here and now. This is how you'll die," and showed him how he was going to die in the future, many years in the future. And then that man turned and walked away, and the Muslim man said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus, the one you will serve." In an instant of time, he was healed out of his sickness. He got up out of his bed. He went back to the mosque. And he started to talk about Jesus and about how Jesus healed. When I was there, God was using him as an evangelist, going from mosque to mosque, declaring to his friends that Jesus is the one God. He is the one that can save your soul, turn your life around, bring healing into your life, to the extent that they became followers of Jesus in that mosque, took the crescent down, put a cross on top. They still saw themselves as Muslim, but they were followers of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I believe that God will touch anyone and he will do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, beyond what we can have an imagination that he would do. But he'll bring you into somebody's world to be able to help them and share God's love with them. How many believe God has chosen you? Jesus has chosen you. He has chosen you that you should what? No, it doesn't say that. It says that you should what? That you should go. Did you know that's two-thirds of God's name? And so we have to remember, go is always in God, okay? We're not to sit on our laurels. We're not to rest on our past. We're not to think about what would be future, that great, when I get there, I'll do this. No. Go is an active word. It is imperative. It is speaking to us now to go outside of our zone of comfort that we're used to operating in and go and step into the world of faith, because that's where God lives and that's where he wants us to live. Did you hear that? How does that work? Well, for me in the military so many years ago, it meant I talked to people about Jesus. It meant the four-letter words I used to be so skillful at using passed from me. I dumped all the alcohol down the toilet to the chagrin of many of my coworkers that wanted it dumped down them. And I threw away the smoking apparatus and I focused myself on God's word and my family to be able to raise them up and serve the Lord. And I determined that I would go every day to do what God has called me to do. And so that's where my challenge is for you. Go does not have to be to Honduras, as some have gone, although that can be part of it. I like what it says in, Daniel chapter, anyway, 12 verse 32, where it says, those that know their God shall what? Be strong and do exploits, right? Great exploits. So all of us are called to do exploits, but exploits are those special times we go out. We're not called to live on the memories of our special time. We're called to live for Jesus every day, that it makes a difference in the lives around us. We're called to be salty, salt, and make life more pleasant for those around that are eating with us, and to be light that shines so that people see there is a difference. There's someone that shines light, God's light, into our darkness. That's how we're to live every day. So that's the go. The go is outside of your comfort zone. What is your comfort zone? My wife's comfort zone was to be in the back when I was preaching and things like that. So for her, getting out of the comfort zone was her taking a microphone and actually preaching. With the heart beating at first. Now, almost 90% of the time we're together in preaching, we preach side by side. She has a mic, I have a mic, and we preach side by side. Yesterday, she preached a women's conference to a whole Filipino church in Toronto. So what starts off as an exploit can become commonplace, normal. You get used to the Spirit of God moving through you. Wake up your neighbor, tell him it's go. It's about going. It's about going, right? Okay, don't hurt the one in the middle now. I see elbows flying from both sides. So we're called to go and do what? Bear fruit. So go and bear fruit. So is the fruit only the love, joy, peace? Is that the only peace? Is that the only fruit that we are to bear? No, we are to bear fruit for salvation. Our life is to be transformed so that when people see us and they knew us as a rascal. Sorry, I'm just looking in the mirror at myself, not you. They knew us one way and now we're different. The fruit of God's life in us changes us into his image to become more and more like him. Now there's some here that have gone that and gone back. And so God is here to prune you today, so that you can bear more fruit. So God wants us to win. So, is winning souls getting fruit for the kingdom of God? It is, isn't it? It's bringing others into the kingdom of God. So are you bold enough to just share God's love with somebody else? Are you bold enough? Do you have guys up here that wear white shirts and a little tie and have a backpack and actually they often have a name tag and they come and confront you? How many have seen folks like that? We don't call them by name, so it's just, yeah, okay. But something, I look forward to seeing them. In fact, when they come, they want to talk to me. You know, I listen to about 10 seconds or so and I say, you know, God loves you very much. I said, and I reach out my hand to shake hands. Well, they're kind, so they'll shake hands with me, and then I'll say, let me pray. Father, I pray for my new friend. Would you reveal Jesus to him? Would you just help him to receive all that you have for him? Oh, Lord, thank you for loving him so much. Amen. Guess what? I've got the hand, and the hand goes with the body, and all I can do is my part and allow the Holy Spirit to do his part, that it really is about Jesus and how we respond to him. It's not about the works and the acts and all the other things that are good, but they're extras. It's Jesus is the main deal, right? So God called us all to bear fruit. And as we do, kingdom of God will be advanced, and we can ask the Father whatever we need. I felt as I was praying for you, I felt there are many here that you're still working in industry, you're working, some of you in places of authority, And God wants you to recognize that he's positioned you in a place to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. That means you excel. You excel in the responsibilities you have. So do good, do well, do your job well. But understand that God has positioned you there, not just for the function that you're paid for. He's positioned you to advance the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of God life into that setting and situation. So you stand up for what's right. You do not compromise your values, God's values. And you boldly declare that Jesus really is Lord, but you don't have to be a preacher in it. When I left the military, I went and did a bunch of business stuff. And so I ran six businesses, but at the same time, I was an air traffic controller. And so when I was an air traffic controller in Edmonton in the Area Control Center, I had a guy named Earl that was there with me, an air traffic controller. And he taught transcendental meditation. That's different than the Bible, just so you know. And he was the most foul person you could ever meet. His language was foul, and he knew I was a believer. And so we would be this far away working in our sector doing, and he would be telling the most gross jokes and everything else. One day he brought a Penthouse magazine, none of you know what that is, and brought it and flashed the centerfold of a lady in my face just to bug me. And I would pray for him. And I prayed out loud for him in his presence. And I laid my hands on the sector where I was working, and I prayed when I came into work. And then there was so much spiritual warfare that I prayed out loud. And then I prayed out loud in tongues in the Area Control Center in Edmonton because of the intensity of what was going on. And then I discovered, came in one day, and Earl said, "Randy, guess what happened?" "I went to a full gospel businessmen's meeting on Saturday and I gave my heart to Jesus." And I said, "Hallelujah! Praise God!" And then God allowed me to have the only office out of 110 employees, and it became our discipleship office. The head of the place used to smoke like a chimney, and so I put the ashtray outside the office, out in the hallway, and he would, and then would go outside. But it became our discipleship place. And I was able to bear fruit of salvation. And then helping him, walking with him, to learn a whole new culture of what it was like with Jesus. And then he wrote a book exposing all the evils of transcendental meditation. And people were coming to Jesus. He sent me a note saying, "Randy, you're a grandfather in the faith. You know, I received Jesus, and now I've got others receiving Jesus as well." So my friends, it's not where you work. It's not that you're in the church. It's not about being a pastor. It's not about being a priest. It's about being a follower of Jesus, and you're chosen to bear much fruit. Father, I pray for my friends now, and I ask you, would you help each one to understand your choosing of their life? Not so many years ago, but choosing today, that now is the day of salvation. Not just for them, but now is the day of salvation for those that they know that you brought them into relationship with, perhaps family members or neighbor or co-worker. But Lord, you brought them together for such a time as this, that now they can live their life because they're chosen them to go outside of comfort zone into a place that only can happen with faith in the living God. You're preparing assignments for them, perhaps even today, to be able to share your love and their care with someone who needs to know Jesus loves them. So I call in divine assignments. We call them into reality now. We open up your plan for each and every individual within the sound of my voice. That, Lord, you would do your work behind the scenes, bringing it all about. But you've chosen each one of us to say yes and to go into the place that requires faith. And know that we shall bear fruit. And that fruit shall remain. It shall not fall off. It shall not be turned around. And Lord, we invite you. Would you invite him now? Just tell him, Lord, I invite you in to prune me. Would you say that out loud? Only if you want to. Only if you want to. Lord, I invite you in to prune me, prune my life. Cut off those suckers that are not producing. Cut off those areas that want to sap my strength and my relationship with you. Lord, help me to surrender those areas, not to hold on to them, but to say, yes, Lord, prune my life. Take off those things, those weights that so easily beset us, those sins that are behind closed doors. Would you cut those off, Lord? And I'll say, yes, I'll turn my back on them. We thank you, Lord. I feel God saying you're called as a church, not to do the same thing as you've always done, but to view yourself as a wonderful agent of God to bring about fruit in this area, the fruit of salvation, the fruit of good works in the community, the fruit of caring for the downtrodden, the fruit of lifting up those who've been broken, the fruit of releasing the anointing that destroys yokes of bondage. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your calling. We thank you for your choosing. We thank you for your timing. We thank you for your love for each and every one of us. But, Lord, we say yes to your plan. Yes and amen.